It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We're still waiting on a Dak Prescott deal. Feels like we're going to be waiting for a while here with Dak Prescott. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. I just want to be clear. I'm not hating on your road trip snack, Smalls.
Okay.
It's more of, I didn't see that one coming. Corn nuts and root beer. Right? I'm not, ranch corn nuts.
There you go. Very specific. Yeah. Not barbecue, not original ranch.
Right.
I don't know that I've ever had corn nuts.
I'll bring them in.
I got to try it. So what is it, like corn kernels?
It's the kernels, and then it's in a ranch seasoning.
Okay. Is it fried? Like what is it?
I don't know. I think, yeah, it might be deep fried a little bit because it has that crunch to it. It has that outside coating.
Okay,
you have to be careful with those. You got to make sure you get it on your back teeth. You don't want to hit your front teeth with those because they are tough to chew.
You're actually working against this argument then. So if it's tough to chew while you're driving, you can't get it on your teeth, then like you can't do the road trip with somebody. There's a lot of things you can't do. Shouldn't the road trip snack just be easy? You pop it in and then you're good to go?
The best things in life, Evan, come on the other side of a challenge.
Wow.
Everything we want is on the other side of hard.
That's right.
Wow, I'm going to actually do 76 hard is what I'm going to come up with.
Are
now.
You?
That's
what
a big
are you
challenge.
Starting?
Mark in North Carolina. Yeah, we're listening on ESPN Wilmington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Mark.
Smalls. I definitely agree with the corn nuts. They are amazing, and I definitely want to try the ranch and root beer combo. But the most elite road trip snack has to be combos.
Yes!
Oh, combos
yes,
are great.
Yes, my people! Thank you, Mark! That's what I was trying to say!
Is it the pepperoni pizza ones? People love
yeah,
those.
Yeah, the pepperoni pizza ones. I mean, if I want to get crazy, the buffalo blue cheese,
ooh,
I can do
those.
That too. Yeah, the plain cheddar is always good. Like, there are a lot of different ways you can go with that one. But combos, elite. Absolutely elite road trip snack. And a part of being elite is that you can find it everywhere.
Yeah.
You can find it everywhere. Like, it's not, it's dependable. I know it's there for me when I really, really need it.
At every gas station.
At every gas station across America.
When you eat a lot of those, you need to drink something all the time because they can kind of, dry your mouth out a little bit.
I will tell you that my kids are going to sleepaway camp this summer for the first time, right?
Ooh, fun.
And when I remember back when I went to summer camp, my parents would send me combos. That would be the greatest gift ever.
Yeah.
Combos.
Like a care package?
Yeah, a care package with combos.
Oh, cool. So
combos has had it for 30 plus years. They still got it. I think that's a great one.
There's no question about it. And here's the thing, Smalls. You're right about the drink. It's something about it, but I can't get the combos without the combination of a Fanta pineapple soda.
Oh, I've never had that.
Fanta pineapple.
I know that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
I know that's not something that
a lot
of people.
That is
a deep cut. But the Fanta pineapple soda with the combos, outstanding.
But can you get that beverage everywhere?
You can't get that beverage everywhere.
Because you're saying the combos you can get at any gas station. I've never seen Fanta pineapple.
Fanta pineapple soda is amazing.
Combos.
Electric drink, Canty.
Combos and orange soda. I'll go there. Combos and orange soda?
Orange soda, yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. No
Jameel in Virginia, listening on 94.1. What's up, Jameel?
Hey, how you guys doing? I would say that my combo will be pink Starburst and a Dr. Pepper. Just keep it simple. You know, nothing too crazy on your hand. You know, you can just pop it in and keep it moving.
Oh,
I'm not mad
pink
at
Starburst,
that.
Starburst, so good.
See, here's the thing with the Starburst. I got to get the pack that's unwrapped. Like, you know, the little bag of Starburst where they're
minis?
Unwrapped. Yeah, I don't like going through the whole gymnastics of unwrapping the package only to have to unwrap every individual Starburst. That is annoying to me.
And while you're driving, you can't.
Like, exactly. It's just getting in the way.
It's
like,
actually,
I'm fumbling.
You know what?
Exactly.
It's not a good pick.
It's not practical.
It's not a good pick.
Like, if I can get the bag of Starburst and then just dip my hand in there and pull them out and pop
them
in, cool. But when you got to unwrap the Starburst package and then unwrap another individual package,
That's true if you're the driver. But if you're a passenger, there have been many road trips where I have mowed through a Fave Red Starburst package.
No doubt. No doubt.
Red is the best flavor of Starburst, right?
No, pink is.
You have pink over red?
Without a doubt. Pink is Patrick Mahomes.
red is Patrick Mahomes. Red is literally the color he wears for that reason. The Chiefs are wearing that because of red Starburst.
So my wife is out on the red flavored Starburst.
Wow. She's out she's on totally it.
Because
she only loves the citrus flavors.
Orange and yellow?
Orange and yellow.
Wow.
I'm not mad at that.
It actually works for us.
Yeah.
Because I love the red. She loves the orange and yellows. Cool. We'll get a pack and we'll all be happy.
Kick all your pink ones over to me because I want the pink Starburst.
I have pink in last place.
What?
I go red, orange, yellow, pink.
It's very clearly pink, red, orange, yellow. And sometimes if you're getting crazy, half a bite of yellow, half a bite of pink, it tastes like a pink lemonade.
He says that as he's wearing a pink hoodie.
I think this is more orange.
Is By the way,
does
orange?
It smell like something's burning in here?
It
I'm
does.
Sorry.
It does. It
what is
like
happening? I'm actually getting nervous right now.
Uh-oh.
You don't smell? Rob, are we on fire? Can you please check?
I think someone's burning a bagel.
Eric in St. Louis listening on 101 ESPN. Smalls' is hometown station.
Let's go.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Smalls, love you, miss you, proud of you, but now I'm so disappointed in you.
Uh-oh.
Number one, corn nuts. Disgusting.
Eric.
Number two, are you even from the Midwest if you're not eating beef jerky on a road trip?
Eric, that is a fair
point. You're
going
from St. Louis to Branson, St. Louis to Chicago, you got to have the beef jerky. When you open the package and the aroma of the marinated meat overtakes the car, I mean, really, is there anything better than that?
I'm with Eric on this one.
I love beef jerky.
I love beef jerky. It is definitely in my top 3 to 5 road trip snacks. I love teriyaki beef jerky. Get out of here.
That's such a selfish road trip pick, though.
Why?
Because if people in the car don't like beef jerky, you're stinking up the whole car with the smell of beef jerky.
That's true. I'm not a beef jerky guy. All right, I'll give you one. We'll do a sports road trip. Who would you rather go on the road trip with, Dak or Jerry Jones? Now you have to drive in the case of Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, because he got the bus.
Oh, he takes the bus?
Give me the bus, the Cowboys bus. Oh no,
that's a cheat code.
Give it
an
eye.
No, that's not a good answer. I know, but that's not a fair answer.
No, I want
that's
the Cowboys bus. The Cowboys bus. Man.
Not fair.
That is better than any tour bus that any rock star has ever had. That tour bus is amazing.
Yeah, but then you'd have to talk to Jerry Jones on the road trip.
Oh, have you? I mean,
you
sitting down talking to Jerry Jones.
You have.
He's awesome. Jerry Jones is awesome to sit down and have a conversation with.
He is
highly entertaining.
Based on what happened, his role in moving the Rams from St. Louis, I don't know if our conversations would be so
okay,
light.
You wouldn't be able to get past that. I understand that.
I would wait till we're like 2-3 hours in, and then I would just hit him with the question.
Spring it on him?
Jerry, why?
Yeah.
Why did you do this to me, Jerry?
The same reason as the answer to everything else. Money.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Adam Schefter told us yesterday here on Unsportsmanlike that the money between Dak and the Cowboys not exactly connecting right now.
I don't believe there's any progress at all right now towards a new deal. It doesn't seem like anybody is in a rush to get something done. And while Dak may be confident about getting a new deal, what I would say is if you wanted a new deal, wouldn't you want it in place by the start of the league year when Dak's cap number is scheduled to be over $59 million and there's a team that needs all the salary cap space it could provide? Unless, of course, they decide we've got Mike McCarthy in the last year of his deal. We're moving on from some players, some guys in the last year of the deal. Do we want to just run this all for 1 year and not do something with Dak?
Well, that obviously is an interesting thing because that is talking about the Cowboys potentially doing their last dance before really a first dance, right? The terminology last dance is used more than ever before because of the documentary. And that was literally their sixth championship, hence the last dance. But we're looking at this as maybe a one-year proposition with the Dallas Cowboys, which certainly doesn't help probably the culture, which has been criticized. And Dak Prescott commented about the culture in Dallas.
Yeah, the culture's high, honestly. And the culture's great from my standpoint. And I say that in the sense is I actually don't know what all talk's been said, so I don't want to go into good, bad, or whatever. I've heard some, but I can't, you guys know if anybody, I'm not the one listening, and I'm trying not to, so. But my point is, yeah, that's something I've always bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questionings of that, concerns on that, I feel attacked. I'm sure some guys in the locker room do. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and the way that this business plays out, people don't get exactly what they wanted. There's always sourness, I guess you can say, somewhere. And so, yeah, I don't want to make anything bigger than what already comments have had.
All right, so right now the Cowboys, are they ranch, corn nuts, and root beer, or are they broccoli on a road trip? What's happening with them right now?
Well, I think they're broccoli because they're not the ideal thing that you want to bring if you're trying to get to your destination, which is the Super Bowl. You know, broccoli is going to fall short in the road trip, just like the Dallas Cowboys do, no?
No doubt about it. But here's the thing. He feels attacked when we talk about how bad the culture is. Well, it's his own teammates taking the shots. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's mama took a shot at Dak Prescott after the playoff loss to the Green Bay Packers. DeMarcus Lawrence took a shot at the Cowboys culture by saying that the team was too burnt out to be at their best in the playoff game, that we had tired legs. Those are your own people taking shots at your culture. That's not us doing that. So that's why I find it laughable when he's talking about, oh, I feel attacked when people talk about our culture being in the way of the success that everybody expects us to have. I just don't understand why he looks at it from an external standpoint where there are people that are in the building that are doing things to raise the questions about the culture.
Yeah, I think the DeMarcus Lawrence one to me is the biggest one because I can't sit there and hold all of the players accountable for what all family members say. Like that may or may not be what the player believes. I can hold the player accountable for what the player says.
But here's the thing. Here's why I would put credence behind what CeeDee Lamb's mom said. I saw what happened in the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. I saw CeeDee Lamb's reaction after the first series for the Dallas offense. I saw it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if I put that with what CeeDee Lamb's mom said after the game, I draw the conclusion that you got an all-pro wide receiver that's not in love with his quarterback. An all-pro wide receiver that feels like the quarterback is in the way of the team having success once they get to the postseason. That's what I get. Now, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's all wrong. Maybe CeeDee Lamb was upset about something else. But to have that kind of visceral reaction after the first series in a playoff game to seemingly be checked out, nah, man, something's not right about that situation. And therein lies the rub when Dak Prescott talks about culture in Dallas not being an issue.
Yeah, I'm with you on so many levels here. There are other people that are contributing to this. It's not like we're pulling this out of thin air. It's your own teammates. It's your owner, by the way, who is setting the tone for the culture there. And it's been pervasive for a long time that it's a circus. It's always going to bring the drama because that's what Jerry Jones does. He's the one that has this constant turmoil around you and your teammates and that organization because he's always talking. But to go back to the DeMarcus Lawrence thing, when you have what a lot of people would consider to be an embarrassing early postseason exit, and you're coming out there and you're saying, we were tired, we were burnt out. To me, that is a huge indictment on what is going on in that locker room and a huge indictment on the culture. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. No one has played more postseason football than them over the past handful of years. And Travis Kelce is yelling at his coach because he wants to be in the Super Bowl. He wants to be in the game. They want more. They want to play more football. They're not complaining about being tired. And therein lies the difference between the two organizations.
And I got to say this. When we're talking about somebody that's in a leadership position like Dak is with the Dallas Cowboys, if he is displaying this type of willful ignorance when it comes to the culture issues in Dallas – and Jerry Jones got a bigger problem. Jerry Jones got a bigger problem. Like if your quarterback is choosing not to see the problems when it comes to culture in Dallas, then the Dallas Cowboys have bigger issues than just personnel and doing business this offseason with retooling their team. That's a problem when the leader of the team, the quarterback, team captain in Dak Prescott, a guy that's in line for a contract that should pay him $60 million a year or more, when he decides to sign it. That's a problem if he's saying that they don't have a culture issue because it's going to lead to more of the same.
On Sportsmanlike, it's presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com for more information. All right, we're going to get more of your road trip snacks coming up. Plus, is Mike Tomlin the be-all, end-all? Can he fix everyone, anywhere, at any time? We'll find out next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Lots of people weighing in. Best road trip snacks. By the way, I'll give you mine. Butter pretzels. Love butter pretzels.
Butter pretzels? Like yeah. Rolled gold? What
yeah, any kind yeah. of butter pretzel I love. Like, so the Snyder's kind, the butter snaps? You've never had those?
No, I like the Snyder's, but yeah. I like them with, like, the flavored pretzels, though. Like, it's got the flavor on it. Like, Snyder's or Dots with the flavor?
I was
flavor.
Just going to say, if we're those going pretzels, good. We're going Dots.
We're going Dots. Like the honey mustard pretzels from Dots?
Oh.
Unbelievable. Those are elite.
Those are the type of things you can't keep in the house because you know they're going to be gone.
No doubt. You're going to be big as a house if you just have them in the house because you're going to be eating them all the time.
Oh, yeah. Bachman, however you say it, butter twist pretzels, those are great also. My son chimes in. He's 10. Sour cream and onion chips.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
That's
nice.
A good one also. Nice.
Cheddar and sour cream chips.
Too. Oh, cheddar. Yes. Like that is a Ruffles? Great call.
I like the baked chips, though. I don't like the regular. I like the baked sour cream and onion chips. Yeah, I like the baked chips.
I would go for yes would be my answer. I love yes. both of those options.
I love a good kettle cooked
yeah,
chip.
Yeah, baked or kettle cooked. Yeah, I need the crunch. I need the elite crunch. Totally. That's what it is.
Totally. All right, let me settle this debate. Yes, again, all of it yes. I would take here. Yes. So there's been a lot of debate about Mike Tomlin with our show because we kind of just throw out there, all right, somebody is kind of in a bad way in their NFL career. I don't mean off the field. I mean on the field. Well, actually, even off the field for that matter also. Where could they go? And we just go to the throw them to Tomlin like we did with Belichick for a while.
Mike Tomlin's wayward school of boys.
Well, I mean, the halfway
house,
basically.
He's like a safe space.
Right.
I mean, we've done this with other coaches historically in all sports, right? We did this with Belichick forever. Like, hey, this guy needs – Randy Moss fell out of favor with the Raiders. Corey Dillon is the go-to example. Fell out of favor because of whatever in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Send him to Belichick and Brady. They'll figure it out, and they always did. Send him to Mahomes and Reed. They'll figure it out. Oh, Mecole Hardman. I mean, look. Perfect example. Guy was allegedly giving the playbook to his opposition, and then he catches a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. We have kind of said Mike Tomlin is with that group also. And there's been pushback, right? I mean, there's been pushback about the idea of, can Mike Tomlin just fix guys? Justin Fields has been our most recent case in point. I think the answer is yes, because I just assume, and I never played in the NFL, breaking news, that if you're a player that doesn't know what winning culture looks like, and you go to the winning culture, you are more likely to kind of become them than them become you. And so that's my assumption with Mike Tomlin. I don't think that's too great of an assumption. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't think that way. I mean, Mike Tomlin has been able to have success with a lot of different people, and people acknowledge that even though they haven't gotten the most out of Kenny Pickett or they haven't been able to develop Kenny Pickett into a franchise quarterback, this is a team that still finds a way to have success.
Right.
I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers were in the postseason this year. They have been in the playoffs 7 of the last 10 years in the NFL. So, I mean, this is a team that's routinely given themselves an opportunity to compete at the highest level of the sport. So I'm not sure why people don't trust the infrastructure that's in place in Pittsburgh because they've been able to display a level of sustained success that very few NFL franchises can rival.
Absolutely. You know you're going to start the season with a winning record at least.
Yeah.
You know that there's going to be a certain level of stability. We talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the culture there. When have we ever questioned the culture in Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin?
Never.
Never. And I always listen to guys who have been there, done that, and guys that I know who played for Mike Tomlin talk about how much he helped them and how great he is as a coach.
Yeah.
And that carries water for me, that guys want to play for him. And guys who did play for him are still in contact with him because he has been that person in their life. So I just always assume that anybody that goes to Pittsburgh is going to have a certain level of success and a certain level of stability.
And you know what else helps Mike Tomlin's case? Seeing guys leave Pittsburgh and watching them unravel.
Good point.
We saw from Antonio Brown, I mean, the guy quite literally took his shoulder pads off and ran off the field in the middle of a game. That actually happened.
Took his shoulder pads off. Took his entire clothes. All his clothing off. They're underrating that.
And he was playing with Tom Brady.
Well, and that was the whole thing with the exact same thing with Belichick forever. If you were to look at Tom Brady is the one example of guys that, like, there's nobody that gets better after Belichick.
Exactly.
And Brady didn't get better. He just stayed the same, which is the greatest of all time. Now, Pat Costello, our producer, is totally anti everything we just said. He completely believes that we have overrated Mike Tomlin and the success the Steelers have had. So, Pat, make the case against us.
Yeah, that's going to be hard because talking about all these road trip snacks and Pat.
Why would Pat leave? I'm looking at the camera now.
Wait, he left to go get a snack?
He left to go get a snack during the specific segment that it was actually tailored to him.
Yeah, he kept talking. He was all the snack talk, and he was just like, I want snacks. And then he got up and left.
You know what this tells you? Ladies and gentlemen, all of the tremendous executives that listen to our show, radio endorsements work. Look at what just happened here. That we are talking about snacks, and Pat Costello literally left our show to go get a snack. And he is a part of the show, mind you. But he thinks that we're nuts on this.
Now, is it fair to judge him based on the snack that he gets, whether or not we're going to excuse it?
Yes,
that's
the thing. So.
I got to know what snack he went to get before I'm going to react to it.
I'm going to put my money on goldfish.
So he was talking about goldfish.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, now he's back.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
All right, Pat is back. We go to Pat during the segment, and he is not there. Pat Costello, Pat, what snack did you get before we give you the floor on Tomlin here, which literally was tailored to you when you left during it, Pat?
I got hungry. I got pretzel crisps and Cheez-Its.
Oh, he went two?
Ooh, yeah. Cheez-Its. We forgot
I'm cool
Cheez-Its.
With the Cheez-Its. I'm good with the Cheez-Its. Yeah. The pretzel crisps,
I like that.
That
pretzel crisps are good.
Pretzel crisps sound mid.
No, they're not
worth the calories for me.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Well, you eat them together, Pat?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some mixing going on.
A little party mix.
Absolutely.
All right, Pat, make your case as to what we're talking about. Make your case as to why you think the three of us and many others around the country overrate the Mike Tomlin success and he'll fix anyone and he'll get everybody better. Go ahead.
I just think that we attribute a lot of success to Mike Tomlin that really hasn't been there. They haven't really competed for a Super Bowl in 8 or 9 years at this point. They make the playoffs, but they don't go anywhere. Just because he's over 500, we give him all this credit as if that's like this huge achievement, and it's fine, but it hasn't gotten him anything. And we then say that Mike McCarthy is this bad coach and they should move on from him in Dallas and whatnot, when he's basically the exact same guy as Mike Tomlin.
Well, okay, I agree with you on the McCarthy part. I do think those are separate arguments, though, because that's the compare and the contrast. But just looking at Tomlin. So it is interesting that when you judge Tomlin, like in comparison to Belichick and Reed, right? Those seem to be peers that you can judge him against. He is not close to those guys. He is in third place. Does he compete for a Super Bowl every single year? No, he does not. Does he compete every single year? Yes, he does. Does he allow his franchise, or do they allow him or both together, their partnership, to ever tank? The answer is no. They never, ever, ever tank. They always are competitive. And a lot of people believe that if you create that kind of tanking environment at any point, it affects your franchise for years to come. Mm-hmm. Because there's always that losing at some point in it. I mean, we see a lot of people still think the Philadelphia 76ers will actually never get over the hump because of the fact that process and the tanking is still kind of in that organization. Mm-hmm. And there are other organizations that have historically, like the Steelers, never allowed themselves to do that, which always provides a winning culture. That's what Tomlin is to me.
A certain standard when you walk in the door.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and there was a bunch of Steelers that got inducted that year. It was Bill Cowher. I can't remember who else. But anyway, there was a couple Steelers that were there, and they talked at length on stage about the responsibility that they felt when they walked into that facility, the responsibility that they felt to carry on the legacy of the Steelers and of the city of Pittsburgh when they put on that laundry. And I think there is something to the fact that Mike Tomlin is somebody that fosters those standards and has continued on with what we expect from a team like Pittsburgh. Now, have they won a Super Bowl in a couple years? No, but he is always competitive. And I think that there are certain organizations sports where, to your point, Evan, tanking would not be tolerated, and Pittsburgh is one of them.
I don't understand why we underrate Mike Tomlin having 17 straight seasons without a losing record. when quite literally the only way we can judge coaches is off of wins and losses in championships.
Because he hasn't won a championship in 15 years.
But he's won one. How many active coaches have championships? How many?
I'm just asking.
How many active coaches have championships? Let's start there. Okay, and then we look at the coaches that have a longer streak without having a losing record. There's only two. Bill Belichick and Tom Landry. How are those guys? Pretty freaking good.
So you're saying Tomlin is in that same category?
And that's fine. They can both be guys that have gotten fired, but what I'm simply saying is those are viewed as some of the greatest coaches in NFL history. I don't understand why we do this thing where we try to disparage the greatness of Mike Tomlin.
So is Mike McCarthy in that conversation then?
Mike McCarthy hadn't had 17 straight years without a losing season.
They have the same record. They have almost the exact same record, and Mike McCarthy has more playoff success. Hold on.
Mike McCarthy has been to one Super Bowl.
And who'd he beat?
And that's fine. Mike Tomlin's been to two.
And he's been to twice as many Super Bowls
if we're going to do that math. He's been to twice as many.
And with the same organization.
To answer the question, Harbaugh, Tomlin, Peterson, Peyton, Reed, McVay. And McCarthy, obviously. Those are the active coaches that have won.
So less than 25% of the league. Okay.
I'm sorry. The best part about this whole thing is that Pat literally got choked up because he was eating the pretzels and Cheez-Its. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly A. Martin is here. And of course, we got to have you weigh in on something. We've been debating today. Best road trip snacks.
Oh. Ooh. Okay. Like Doritos. I'm a big candy person, though. So... like Skittles, like I'm like sour candy, sweet tarts, popcorn is big. Yeah, just.
Those are all good.
So you're all okay.
And this is why I drafted
her. So a smorgasbord of snacks for the road trip.
Oh, 1,000%. Okay. Like there needs to be like full bags in the back. Like, Michelle, which one do you want? Do you want the potato chips? Do you want the like candy? Like what? I'm big on snacks.
Kimberly, we did a draft, ESPN personalities that we would want to go on a road trip with, and I selected you because I knew...
Thank you, Michelle!
You are welcome, because I knew that you would be, as I said, the snack commissioner of the car. Like, you were going to bring the snacks.
I would have, like, you want soda, you want diet, you want regular, you want water, you want sparkling or still. Yes, I'm all about the snacks and the music. Like, we got to have eclectic, like, depending on how long we're going, I feel like... Evan, we might need a little help.
Okay. This is a cross-country road trip. Wow. We're going from New York to L.A.
Oh, my God.
Long trip.
I need to be on. I'm fun, guys.
Okay. All right.
Wow. That one hurts. I want you to now ask Anita, our great hairstylist, about my music. Okay? I'm just saying.
I heard you were bopping to Taylor Swift, like, the other day, and, like, Michelle... walked around the
corner.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, I did. I listened.
Oh, you got sources.
I guess I should know.
You have sources.
I went straight from Indy to like, okay, what's happening at the Seaport? Like, I'm dialed in.
Boom.
Dialed
all right, in. So then let's talk about Indy. You were there for the combine, all of the news and rumors. What's the number one thing like you're thinking about coming out of Indy? We saw the Russell Wilson stuff. We talked about Dak's contract. We have all the franchise tags. What's on Kimberly's mind right now about the news and rumors around the NFL?
It's honestly, it's not even who's taking Caleb Williams or who's going to draft Daniels. It's honestly the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know why?
Because they are, they got to get a quarterback. I don't care how much Omar Khan stands at the podium, which I stood in front of him and he's like, yeah, you know, Kenny, we believe. Yeah. They kind of showed us last year what they thought of Kenny from the standpoint of when he was healthy. They went to a guy, Mason Rudolph, who they had buried on the bench for several years, right, when they had a chance to make the playoffs. So the Steelers, to me, this is a team that, you know, kind of handcuffed itself to Ben. They should have moved on quicker. But, you know, again, loyalty. I think loyalty is a thing that comes up with Mike Tomlin a lot, the Matt Canada, all that stuff. And I want to see if they completely go off course as far as what they're used, what we're used to seeing from them, which is they don't splurge in free agency typically for quarterbacks. Like, they're going to sit at 20 and take Kenny Pickett. Well, now they're at an inflection point where you've got all these quarterbacks available. How aggressive are they going to be? So, you got the cousins of it all and the Justin Fields and Russell Wilson out there. So, the Pittsburgh Steelers in that division, I want to see what they do.
Kmart, what adds a layer of intrigue to the Steelers quarterback search is the Mike Tomlin contract, because there's the belief that, you know, this is, you know, an offseason that's a pivot point in terms of his future with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Now, it's clear that it would be his choice if he were to walk away, not the Steelers, wanting him to push him out of the door. How much of that, I guess, contract situation is driving the quarterback search for the Pittsburgh Steelers this offseason?
That's a great question. And I think, again, loyalty. You know, I think this is an organization that will allow Tomlin to decide when he's ready to walk away. Similar to with Ben, it's like, hey, bro, you think you're coming back? What do you want to do? Allowing the person to sort of dictate when they want to leave, that does put you in a bind, because Tomlin, depending on how the season goes, Tomlin might be like, you know what? It's a wrap. I'm going to join Greeny on Get Up and see what's happening there. You know, what I mean? But again, if I think, to me, like, a Justin Fields is that he's not a Band-Aid. He's a long-term option with this roster that you have. If you end up with a Russell Wilson, now that's a Band-Aid. At some point, very soon, the Steelers are going to need, probably next year, they're going to need to be thinking about, okay, who's our quarterback again? So I think all those decisions.
So which one puts Mike Tomlin closer to signing a contract extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Justin Fields, in my mind. Because from the standpoint of, we have a young guy that you build with. Like, I'm seeing Justin Fields as, like, an option for the foreseeable future, whereas Russell Wilson is like, hey, we're just trying to get through this year. We have a good team. Russell, you know, we don't need him to do too much. We made the playoffs, like, with limited quarterback play. We should be better with him. But that, again, feels like that's an easy fix for right now. But I kind of want to see the Steelers show a long-term plan.
Kimberly, I want to stick with Russell Wilson there for a second. We've had a conversation about him this morning. He will be attractive to a lot of teams because of the financials, because of the price point that he will come in at. Okay, I was going to say, but what really is the market for Russell Wilson?
Any desperate team that doesn't end up with Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, or Justin Fields.
So he's fourth on that list.
You know what I, like, because, again, it's, and this is not to disparage Russell. I think he played well, but Russell wasn't brought to Denver to play well. He was all those picks, all those people, all that money, that extension that was given to him. Like, all those things was for, hey, we're about to go all in for a Super Bowl. He did not play Super Bowl caliber, like, QB. Like, that's just the reality. I talked to an offensive coordinator last night. He said the ideal situation in my mind for Russell would be a high-end backup for a young elite quarterback, which Russell is not at a point in his career where he's going to be okay with that. But this offensive coordinator said, look, the guy still can play, but he can win games against other quarterbacks that, you know, he can be functional. Like, but you can't put everything on him. He's not the same guy. And I think we have to be very clear. It's the money that makes him attractive. Because if he was asking for Kirk Cousins' money, like, to me, like, you would go through all your other quarterback options before you say the play doesn't merit Kirk Cousins' money.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Right. All right, let's finish with this. 1 year from today, the conversation we're having about Russell Wilson, will we substitute the name Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh. Yikes. You know, I don't think so.
But
I got to be honest, talking to people in Indy, they're like, yeah, y'all keep thinking the Jets are going to be good. like you, I don't know, okay? Like, and that's the scary thing to me. Like, people around the league are just not sold on Aaron Rodgers. Like, they thought even if he played last year, the Jets wouldn't be good, which I refuse. After seeing some of the quarterbacks that have come through New York and seeing the Jets finally get a Hall of Fame quarterback, I'm not there yet. I hope we are not, for the love of God, I hope we are not talking about Aaron Rodgers like we're talking about. But again, the market, what other team, you know, he's has the injury and all that, and he's older. I don't know. We just might, but I hope not. My goodness.
Kimberly A. Martin, great job as always. You'll see her on Get Up coming up in about 20 minutes on ESPN. We've got I'm Over It coming up, but first, CeCe has this from Grainger.
Ah, yes, for the ones who get it done, like Kmart on Get Up This Morning. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat Costello, our producer, provides us items each and every day that he's over. Sports, food, entertainment. I bet closing the door in our studio, I'm over that it never gets closed.
Yeah. Pat Costello was in studio in Costello's America, the studio door would be closed.
Yep.
And it would probably have self-closing hinges. That's the next level that Costello would take us to.
All right, nice. Pat.
I like Costello's America.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
If I keep getting snacks like this during the show, nothing might get done. I think Wagyu beef is a scam, and I don't understand it. I don't get why it's so expensive. It doesn't look like it's delicious at all, and it's so expensive. It's like hundreds of dollars for the tiniest cut of meat. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like such a scam.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. Now, Wagyu beef, when they show you the cut of meat before it's cooked, it looks outstanding, all of the marbling. I'm a big steak guy. Like, I love steak. Nothing makes me happier. My wife made a nice bone-in ribeye on Sunday. It was unbelievable. Wasn't Wagyu beef, because we ain't shopping like that on the random. Like, that is a special occasion thing. Because Wagyu beef is something like $10 an ounce or something like that. It's crazy, crazy time when it comes to the prices of it. Now, I gotta wonder, though, when it comes to how it actually tastes, is it that much of a difference in terms of the profile when you're actually eating it? I don't know. I feel like this could be a bit of a racket. Like the Wagyu beef, the Kobe beef, if I did a blind taste test, would I be able to tell the difference in taste? Maybe it's the difference in texture. I don't know. But I'm kind of with Pat on this one. The whole Wagyu label or the Kobe beef label, it could just be the beef industry finding a way to do too much and charge us way, way too much for their products. I'm just saying.
Big beef has a hand, in, a hand in this. I'm with you. I think if we all put on a blindfold and you gave us four different cuts of meat, yeah, we probably couldn't determine the difference.
Exactly.
I am not a red meat guy, as you guys know. I'm telling the audience on this one. But it, do you find it weird? Because I know I'm weird in general. I love steakhouses, but I don't eat steak.
That's what do you strange. Get?
I'll get like seafood or pasta or chicken or whatever. I just think they have the best food.
You go to the steakhouse for the seafood?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Tornado in Madison, Wisconsin. Tornado Room, the single greatest shrimp I've ever had in my life. It's known as like the best steakhouse, one of the best steakhouses in the Midwest. I've never had steak there. I will eat there every night of my life. It's that good.
The shrimp.
It's just like lemon pepper Lou Williams. I go to Magic City for the wings.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe I should believe him now. Oh, or that you believe.
I go to the steakhouse for the seafood.
No, wait a minute. You believed yesterday. You want to talk about gullible?
What's up?
I know I am, but you believed Anthony Edwards was FaceTiming his newborn and that's why he was late? You know he was in the bathroom.
I thought he was with his newborn. I will fight that.
No, he was in the bathroom. You know it. Everybody's speculating. Anyway, go ahead, Pat. What just happened to you?
I was drinking. Sorry, I was drinking something. You know, I'm trying to get these pretzel crisps down over here. They're pretty great. I'm very over that Javonte said he could rob a bank and that he'd be pretty easy. This doesn't make any sense to me. The margins aren't even there to rob a bank. Like, at most, I think it said you're getting like 50 grand from a bank. It's just not going to happen. There's no point in doing this. And I can't believe that Javonte would assume that it's easy to rob a bank.
We have a problem on this show. They're like taking this seriously. Is he wearing a cop hat?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's with the outfit today, Pat? I'm like, is he wearing sunglasses?
You know, just in case I need Javonte to pull over.
it's Officer Costello.
Where did Pat get the officer gear on ESPN2 right now? Where did that come from?
I'm just laughing because Javonte adjusted himself in his chair and got real uncomfortable, as every black man in America knows that feeling. Anytime you got somebody...
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to leave work today.
Exactly. The aviators and the police officers hat on, yeah, makes you real uncomfortable when it's right up next to you. But here's the thing, though. I am the value proposition for robbing a bank.
Okay, we got to stop. What are we doing?
Pat is there, though. Pat is right. It doesn't make sense because it's not a one-man job. You got to have crowd control. So there are multiple people. And you
got
to be in and out if you're going to try to get away from it. You're not going into the vault. So how much money are you going to get from the tellers?
How many people do you think you need? At least four, right?
At least four.
You need a lookout person, at least four. a getaway car, and at least two people to handle the robbery.
Yeah, exactly. Queen Latifah and Vivica Fox set it off for us in the movie. They gave us the blueprint. You need at least four.
Okay, so out of our six, seven people on this show, well, actually, there's more with our TV crew.
Yeah.
If we're doing a draft on our show, who's going to be in the car going to rob the bank? Who are you taking?
Well, I'd have to be in the car because anytime I would walk in the bank, the people would automatically assume that I'm up to something. Suspicious person.
Also, they could ID you.
Exactly. 6'8", 350 pounds. Yeah, we know. Exactly. Very identifiable
He's
figure.
Really tall.
We need some people that can be incognito. Some people that can blend in a little bit. So I'm just saying, Rob, Smallman, maybe Costello, Javonte. We need some people that can blend with the crowd.
And you need a fall guy.
Exactly.
I would
be the fall guy.
Nuno's the fall guy.
Nuno's the fall guy?
No, I actually think I would send Nuno in to talk to the teller. Nuno's my initial contact with the teller because he would just be like, you know what I'm saying? And then while he's confusing the teller, I'm behind him getting the cash.
Thanks, I think.
No, you should not say thanks to that. She just totally destroyed you.
All
I'm now thinking about is Pat imitating Nuno robbing a bank. Go ahead, Pat. What would it sound like?
I'm not destroying him, by the way. I'm saying I would want him with me on
this
mission.
No, because you're basically saying the teller would be like, okay,
so now we
got to
split it five ways instead of four ways.
Why?
Because you're going to send Nuno in to feel out the teller first.
Okay,
that's an additional person.
So Nuno's going in to talk to the teller. You are what? The lookout guy? You're in the car?
I'm in the car.
Okay, you're in the car. So then who is the lookout guy?
You got to have somebody else for the lookout guy. A couple of people for crowd control. Because you got to think the bank is a decent-sized space. So
I feel like Rob would be a good lookout guy.
Yeah, I feel like Rob would be great for the lookout, no question.
And so who is executing the robbery? Me?
Yeah.
And who else?
Basically, you got five people. Okay. How much are we splitting five ways to make it worth it for us?
I've never felt so honored to be left out.
Right? You don't want to be a part of this?
No, nobody picked me for anything.
Yeah, because we know you're going to snitch. We're not gonna
I'm not
going to
snitch. I'm just not going to be a part of it.
You're going to tell.
Evan cannot be the getaway guy. He'd be like a 10-2 going the speed limit.
And listen, if we cut Evan in on it, we make him a part of the plan, he's going to have the police officers there 5 minutes early waiting on us to show up at the damn bank.
And I take all the money?
Exactly. No.
Oh,
well, you're not
no,
going to reward money?
A little Ocean's 11?
Reward so money.
Do it by yourself?
Evco's one? I'm just saying. Just saying.
Here we go. Here we go. I have a submission for I'm Over It.
I wouldn't advise
in,
this.
In Costello's America, I would just hope that when you call an Uber driver
and you reach to
open the door to get in the Uber, that the Uber driver doesn't drive off. Because that's exactly what happened to me this morning. I called an Uber. I didn't drive into work today because I got several stops in the city, and I don't want to be parking at a million different parking garages. So I took an Uber into work today, and as soon as I come out of my building to get into the Uber driver looks at me as I'm reaching to open the door and pulls off. I have my hand on the handle of the door, and the Uber driver just pulls off. And then I get the Uber notification. Hey, is something going on with you? We've noticed that you're not in your ride. Yeah, of course I'm not in my ride. My Uber driver just pulled off. There's a problem. Oh, well, we'll give you a $15 credit. Thanks, Uber. But that doesn't necessarily cover the inconvenience of my Uber driver for no reason at all, just deciding to pull off. Didn't talk to him. He didn't talk to me. He clearly knew my destination before he took the trip, and he decides to drive off. Are we still doing that in 2024? What is going on? I don't understand it.
Jets fan.
Yeah, probably. I was saved, though. And the irony of all of this, as a black man, I was saved by the taxi driver. There was a taxi driver that was available that was getting ready to knock off his shift, but he decided to bring me down to Pier 17,
nice,
where our studios were. So I was actually able to catch a taxi at 4:45 this morning in New York City.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
A taxi
disaster.
For the win. Yeah.
Taxi for the win.
That's awful.
One would think that most people would know how to operate our taxi, but our social and digital guy, Rob Lorenzo, and I were in a cab last week, and you would have thought it was flying to Mars. He had no idea how to operate and tell, like, he's like, do I tell the driver where we're going? I said, I'm sorry, what? What do you mean? He goes, how do you pay? I said, there's a credit card screen right there. I didn't know a taxi was so difficult. So I'm over Rob Cam now. He's embarrassed.
Rob
people
Cam.
Not knowing taxis.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.